You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Zane is a VI PhD researcher, and she's here today to tell us about life as a PhD student, graduate teaching assistant, and what it's like working in academia. Hi Zane, thanks so much for joining us. Can you tell us about the research you're doing at the moment?
Of course. So my PhD is in media and cultural policy, and my focus is on disability representation in Jordanian media, both legacy media, so newspapers, radio and broadcast, and comparison to social media, but with a focus on Facebook, since Facebook is the most used app in Jordan. I'm now in my third year of my PhD, so I'm now in the write-up stage, as they call it, and, you know, just writing away. In fact, before you called, I sat down to edit a 21,000-word chapter. So this is how I'm going to be spending my day today.
How accessible have you found doing your research so far?
So far, it's been accessible. I use my laptop to write. I was able to use Zoom when I was doing my interviews and my focus groups. Unfortunately, because it was during the pandemic, I didn't have a huge opportunity to speak to people in person, which was something I was looking forward to. Data collection and being in the fieldwork is one of the most exciting periods of being a PhD researcher. So unfortunately, I had to do everything through Zoom. But the wonderful thing is I was able to go back home to Jordan and do this from there, see my family, and then come back. But overall, I'm really, really blessed to be at the university. I love the university. And with the new building that they have for researchers, you can sit down and you can work there and it's accessible. I can get to my desk in safety. And I have Mitch, my guide dog, to guide me there. So it's been a really wonderful experience. Like, the one way I can describe my experience so far as a researcher is that it's been an epic roller coaster.
Can you tell us about some of the challenges you've had so far?
I came here in 2020. That was like the middle of the pandemic. I had to quarantine 14 days. But also, you know, it's, you know, having to quarantine yourself every time someone you know had COVID, yet you didn't have it. So you still had to go through that period. And I think sometimes being on your own in an accommodation where you basically don't have flatmates or roommates, that can be lonely. And I think I experienced that mostly in the winter times. I went through burnout. It hits all aspects of your life. It hits your mental health. It hits your physical health. And so I didn't know at the time that I went through it until my supervisors pointed it out for me. Oh, you've been working all year with no holidays, even through your weekends. You burnt out. I love my research. I'm very passionate. And so I just wanted to work on it. Taking time off was the best thing I could do. And I'm now doing this. Like, every weekend I do something interesting. Like, this weekend I'm heading to Belfast with a friend. So that should be nice. One of the other challenges was finding an accessible place to work in. It was tough because I first was using a cane and then now I'm a guide dog user. And so it took time to find me an accessible place. But my university worked hard and now they're working hard to make sure that my accommodations are met. My guide dog, he loves the place. I don't know how it is that he's memorized the route in one day where I get lost in that building. Guide dogs are amazing and having Mitch by my side, it makes all the difference. Other challenges that I've faced, basically my eyesight. Found out last month that I lost more sight. That actually can be a barrier, you know, getting used to your perimeters being less than what they were.
How have you found engaging with what the city has to offer and engaging with other researchers at the university?
For us, you know, when we started, you know, meeting up with other researchers and other people, the university created Facebook groups, but we also, as people, when we started connecting with each other, we were like, okay, let's make up a WhatsApp group. And that's what we did. We supported each other. So I'm in different groups as well. That's how I was able to connect with other people. But I think the first instance I connected with other researchers was through the PhD societies. Basically, we had like online pub nights. We had online game nights. It's funny how you meet one person and then they connect you to different people. Because I love to travel, I always put it in my mind that I wanted to study in a place that not only had the course that fit my needs, but also I wanted to live in a new city and experience a new culture.
And you're also a GTA and you teach other students. How have you found that experience so far?
So I did one semester of GTA at the beginning of the year. So I'm still on contract with the university, but I've only taught one semester. And that is because my supervisors have asked me to focus on my writing, which I totally agree with them 100%. It was really fun to teach. I found my calling, as they say. Going through that experience, I know that I'm up for the challenge, I'm up for the job, but also I felt at ease teaching. I was teaching a seminar and I was in charge of 20 students. My lecturer made things accessible, so I was able to access the material. I was able to access things beforehand, but also when it came to marking, they printed the papers that I had to mark in A3, and I basically had things in a bigger font that I could mark. But also, they gave me the marking grids on a bigger font as well. So that, for me, made me feel like I was included. So I was really grateful.
And it sounds like you've really thrown yourself into meeting new people, chasing up connections, and self-advocating and asking for things that will help you both do your research and your job more easily. What advice would you give to any other blind or partially sighted people who maybe are going into a PhD or a master's?
Don't be afraid to ask for your needs and your accommodations. Don't be afraid to send an email to your professor, to your lecturer, to the dean, to even your disability officer, telling them that you need these needs met. Because if you're not going to ask for what you need and what is your right, then who's going to ask for you?
Well, thank you so much, Zane, for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio, and good luck with your 21,000-word chapter.
Thank you so much for having me.